Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, beloved ones, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are around the world. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife, Tarina Mwamba, here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America, coming to you live here on Blog Talk Radio on the Mwamba World Outreach School of Ministry. We are back again, like I said, taking a long recess, whatever you might call it. I haven't been broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio because we have assignments. We have a school that is running online and it demands my time and my everything. God censured me and said, hey, son, remember you have a broadcast to do too. So that's why I'm back on Blog Talk Radio to be teaching my 30 minutes of broadcast, and then I go back to teaching the students. By the way, our students at the Word of Life Bible College are graduating next year in May, on the 17th of May, 2017. Now, you are welcome to come and attend. Firstly, we are working on the group to get themselves together. Some are desiring to come here in Dallas, to come and graduate here in Dallas from Zambia. It's a long, long, long travel, as you know. Tickets cost almost close to $3,500 to $4,000, depending on which airline you use. But students have been very determined. They told me, Bishop, we want to put our money together and come. That would be great. That would be really great. But it suffice to say that school ends this December, because the students started classes in January. And so some students came to me and said, Bishop, you're saying we're closing in May of 2017, but you said December, I mean we have done 12 months. That's when I get back to them and said, no, schools here in the United States begin in the fall, and graduation is usually in the spring. But anyway, suffice to say the schools will close in December. We'll close the teaching for 2016, and then we are working on the intake for 2017, and God willing, we'll be having students for the year 2017. And by God's grace, we are adding a class, so we're going to have a diploma one-year class and an Associate of Arts degree class, which we are going to introduce online. But like I tell the students all the time, I say, hey, keep praying for us, keep praying for me, keep praying for my wife, because we are heading a ministry here in the United States of America where we need to believe God for finances to get the buildings done. You know, we need proper buildings for the school. We need, facility. There are homes here we can buy. But you see, the law is that you got to have facilities that are compatible to be used as a school. See what I'm saying? So, that's where we are. And we have students who are very excited. I have an anointing and a call from the Lord as teacher. I'm a pastor teacher. I've pastored a church, big work in Africa. Pastored it for many, many years before I came to the United States of America. But here in the U.S., I pastored a church, Gospel Lighthouse. What's a Gospel something Lighthouse? With a pastor who had gone back to Zambia, and we remained with his wife, and, pastored the church for 1 year. And I've been in ministry with various ministers and pastors, like a pastor from Cameroon. I was there. We were there for months. And another pastor from Zambia, we were there. But you see, there's always this tendency of ministry. Sometimes they don't open their doors fully. You know, there is all these preconceived ideas that somebody is going to take my pastorate, is going to take over my church, and I'll be thrown in the wind, in the cold. But that's not so. You know, there is always a camaraderie. There must be unity in the church. We pastors must not be afraid of one another. Hey, he's going to take my church. Oh, he's going to take my congregation. Paul and the apostles in Jerusalem, they worked together as a team. Jesus was not afraid of anybody throwing him over, except that Judas Iscariot sold the master for 30 pieces of silver. But you know, Jesus appointed 12 apostles. Never at one time did he say, Peter, are you going to be another Jesus? Never at one time did he say, John, are you going to be another? Everybody respected the anointing upon the master. And they all called him master. They called the Lord Jesus master. They were with him every day, but they called him master. Why? Because they recognized that this man was different from them. He had a calling higher than they could ever anticipate. It was a divine call that they could never change. And so they respected him. They bowed down to him. They called him master and Lord. You see what I'm saying? So we have to come to a position where we as pastors are not afraid of each other. We must respect one another's callings. We must come to recognize that people are called in different calls. Some are apostles, some are evangelists, some are pastors, some are teachers, some are prophets, according to the call that God has given them, right? And if we know that, then we'll stop being afraid of releasing our pulpits. I've heard of various men of God who never even opened a pulpit to nobody. But I remember when I was with the Archbishop Idahosa, he's not the only one who preached from January to December. He had different ministers come in his church and minister. He had associate ministers under him whom he would hand over the pulpit to, and they would minister. They didn't take over the pastorate from him. They didn't say, now I'm the bishop, you sit down over there. No. But, you know, I've come to realize and notice that they have some power-hungry people too. You know, you call them to be with you. Now they want to overthrow you too. They want to kick you out. Even online, where we put ourselves online and start teaching online, people want to kick you out of your own class online. Can you imagine? That is crazy. But these things do happen because the devil plants seeds in hearts of people, because the devil is not happy to see the work of God advance. But you know what? I'm here. I teach. And I'm believing God for a pastorate as the Lord opens doors, that as we grow, we will have a fellowship. We'll have a congregation. But right now, my congregation is online, and I preach to whoever will listen to me, and especially the Bible school students. Amen. Now, I have a message today. Entitled, if you see on Facebook or wherever you're seeing it, on Blog Talk Radio, it says, Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba presents the deception of time. Today I would like to talk about the deception of time. He said, Bishop Mwamba, what do you mean by deception of time? You know, I want first to read the scripture to you from the King James Version of the Bible. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 3, beginning reading from verse number 1. Listen to the word of the Lord. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time down, a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. The title of my message this evening is entitled, The Deception of Time. Deception. Now, what is time? Time is the chronometer. Chronometer simply means a watch or a clock or time. A chronometer is an instrument that measures time. Time was flung into being by God. God initiated time. From the beginning of his creation, when God began to create things, he ushered successions of time. That's why we can count and say, hey, from the time that Jesus Christ came to this planet, it's almost 2,016 years. 2,016 years since the Lord Jesus came to this planet, you see. From the time of Adam to the time that Jesus came is 4,000 years. 4,000 years passed from the time that Jesus, God created the brought in Adam to the time that Jesus came. Now, time, nobody can stop time. You and me cannot stop time. Time keeps on rolling. That's why some people, they have even got these proverbs or slang. They say, time waits for no man. Time waits for no man. Now, what I've come to discover, I'm now, almost 63 years old, 62, 61, okay. But listen, time passes so quickly. And time waits for no man. I've come to learn one thing, that time is deceptive in a sense. Time itself is not deceptive, but the way we think about time, we deceive ourselves. You say, Bishop Mamba, how do we deceive ourselves? We deceive ourselves by thinking that we have more time to do things when we don't. You see, your mind can envision and say, hey, you know what, I got 5 more years, I'm going to build a house, I'm going to buy a car, I'm going to buy a farm, I'm going to get into business. But as you're counting the 5 years, you add those 5 years to your own age. You see, that's how much time you have. So that's what I'm saying, time is deceptive. Remember, that when you postpone things from happening, it is increasing even in your time on earth. Your age is advancing too. When you postpone something from, say, this year, say, hey, look, I'm going to do it next year. If you were 40 years old, you postpone it for 1 year, you'll be 41 years old. If you postpone it another year, you'll be 42 years old. If you were 60, you postpone it 1 year, you'll be 61. The next year, you'll be 62. The next year, you... Time is deceptive in that sense because it keeps on increasing while achievement is limited when you don't flow with time. See what I'm saying? When you don't go, when time is moving, you need to move with time. That's why, see, once you are 18 years old, you cannot go back to kindergarten. That your time is gone. You're not going to go back to kindergarten, no. Kindergarten, they call it, preschool, and be in class, you are 18 years old. How are you going to go back to kindergarten? Everybody's going to think you are crazy. And who's going to accept you in a class? You are an 18-year-old fella to go into a kindergarten school. You cannot. Why? Because your time has closed doors. So time can close doors, and certain things which you were planning to do cannot be done once that time is gone. The time goes also for life. They say that there are certain times in the year of your life when you are very productive. That means you can reproduce and have children. After that certain time, it's difficult to have kids. That's why people have to run to medical doctors to get in vitro fertilization, to get themselves fertility, to bear children. Why? Because that time period has closed. So, know for a fact that time is not going to wait for you when you're lingering around and playing a game and saying, I'm going to do it tomorrow. somebody said this postponing of things and saying I'm going to do it tomorrow is a time killer and a vision killer. See, like for example, with me, I have two books. First, I wrote Wake Up the Mighty Man, which I gave to my niece who was coming to the United States. He was studying at Oral Roberts University at that time. And I gave him my manual, my manuscript to bring to Vantage Publishers in New York. She did the good thing, brought the book and sent it to the publishers. But what I did not know was the publishers were looking for $3,000 down payment. And you know, sometimes you look at things and you say, hey, $3,000? Come on, I'm just going to raise it like that. Because I was used to handling big money. And $3,000 in those days was no problem to me because I had so many partners, so many people who entrusted their missions money into our ministry. And they had very high regard of my vision that they were ready to support my work. So raising $3,000 was like a snack. But you see, I had other programs running in Africa of building the Bible school, of building the church, of paying for my television and radio broadcasts, that I pumped a lot of money in these ventures that I didn't have money to spare to pay down for my manuscript. So that book was kept on the shelf. And the next time I called the publishing company, they said, no, we destroyed the manuscript. After we looked and we saw you were not responding, they destroyed it. They destroyed my manuscript. So I started rewriting my manuscript, Wake Up the Mighty Man. And then I had another title of a book, you know, The Walk of Faith, which I started to write. So I come to realize that sometimes in dilly-dallying, oh, I'm going to write tomorrow, I'll do it the next day, time goes and you've never written the book. I give great respect to people who at times you hear they have written like 50 books. I know some of them is taken out of their audios, which are, you know, transcribed, and these audios get transcribed and they have books written out of their speeches. But I'm talking of you sitting down with pen and paper and starting to write a book. It takes a lot of gravity out of you. It takes a lot of stamina. But, you know, when you are dedicated to a vision, you can accomplish it. I've come to realize that postponement is the killer of a vision. When you say, I'm going to do it tomorrow, because tomorrow may never come. So, what is time? The best way to handle time is to tell yourself, do it now. Now, see, here in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, the richest person in the world by the name of King Solomon was writing. You know, many things, because of the wisdom he had and the mighty anointing that God gave him, he was thinking of every aspect of life. He writes here and says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. There is a season and a time to go to school. There is a season and a time to be in kindergarten. There is a season and a time to be in elementary school. There is a season and a time to go to college. There is a season and a time to go to the university. There is a season and a time to go to train to become a medical doctor or a mechanical engineer or whatever. There is a season and a time. You see, a small kid in kindergarten cannot jump the classes and go to the university when that child is kindergarten age. Who has ever heard a child of 5 years old going to the university to study for mechanical engineering? It has never been heard because there is a season and a time. That child first must finish kindergarten, be 7, 6 years, whatever age is acceptable in whatever country where you are, to begin elementary school. And that kid must complete the 7 years that are demanded for them to be in elementary school before he can go to high school. He must complete high school before he can go to college. You see what I'm saying? So somebody cannot jump from elementary school and say, I'm going to go to college. No, they would tell him, hey, you don't have the qualifications to enter college. Why? Because there are times and seasons that separate things in life. You cannot just jumble things around and think time is going to work for you. You got to use God's wisdom to arrange time and the slots that God has given you before your time runs out. See, there are certain things that God gives you which can be accomplished in a certain time. When you play around with time, time will be gone. I remember when I was in Zambia, I used to tell my leaders, I say, you guys, I come to your homes. Sometimes they accuse me of not visiting them many times anyway. But whenever I had time, I'll visit them. And I'll tell them, they spent a lot of time with me in the church. I fellowship with them. We pray together. I said, you know, you guys, I have time with you. You come, you fellowship with me. You come to my house. We have a good time together. I said, you know, the fellowship you have been having with me like this, one day you might not have it because I'll not be around for you to have such a fellowship. And it was true. When I left Zambia for the United States, they've never had fellowship with me, those who used to come to my house and linger around, and those I used to spend time with at the church, the elders who used to ride with me in the car, cannot do that anymore. Why? I'm not there. I'm here in the U.S. See, take advantage of the things that God puts to your disposal. See what I'm saying? Get advantage of the wisdom of people that God makes cross your life because you might never have them again. God opens the door to you to be with the powerful preachers coming in your home, talking to you. Utilize those moments to glean and get the wisdom that God has imparted in their life. See, many times we look at the outward part of a person and then we conclude and say, well, what can come out of Nazareth? What can come out of Nazareth? Jesus came out of Nazareth. Sometimes it's too much familiarity. You see what I'm saying? We know people too much, and we think what can come out of such and such a person. Mind you, you are not the director of their vision. You are not the one who has implanted a seed in their lives to cause them to do what they do. So you cannot prejudge them and conclude of what material is going to come out of them. And when you start a Bible school, you start to laugh and say, what can come out of Nazareth? See? They start a school. They are planning to build a university. There you are in your corner laughing. What can come out of Nazareth? To you, it's always Nazareth. But these people are growing in God. You don't know the books they have read over the years while you are there reading your magazines and newspapers. You don't know what kind of teachings they have gleaned which you have never had. You are thinking of them maybe in the years when you were with them in the secular employment and thinking they're still the same. But people develop, people teach themselves, people grow and become giants of faith by themselves in their homes. People earn degrees, become doctors through self-study. They are enclosed in their home and studying. President Chiluba of Zambia received a Master of Philosophy degree through home study from a university in England. He was a president by then. He had no degree, but as a president, he kept on studying. He didn't waste his time in the White House. In Africa, they call it the State House. He used all his time to study and develop himself, and he earned a Master of Philosophy degree. See, we look at people the way we used to know them 10 years, 15, 20 years ago. Forget about that. Time changes. It's normal for us to behave like kids and look at each other and think the way you used to know them with the nappies and the way you used to know them with pampers, that they are still with pampers. You are wrong. They have grown. They have matured. They are more than you can ever think. See, Jesus grew amongst the people and they knew him as a carpenter's son. But the Bible said Jesus grew in stature and in wisdom. See, what does it mean to grow in stature? He was no more a child. When you looked at Jesus, he was no more looking like a little boy. He was a grown man. See? When you looked at Jesus, he was a grown man. He was a man. But he grew in stature, and also he grew in wisdom. See, you think of it. When years come and go, you think people are going to be the same? You are wrong. People develop. Education will change you. You mean to tell me somebody who has been in college for 5 years is going to be the same? No. They're going to be different because they have gleaned new information. They have learned and grown. They've become masters of their field. So utilize time as God presents it to you. Don't waste time. You can never go back to the way you were in high school. You can never go back to maybe the way you were in college. Thank God for the experiences of college. But you are a person who should strike new paths in life and do exploits. Look at Mark Zuckerberg. He was at Harvard. He didn't even complete his degree. But he had a higher calling. You get that? He had a higher calling of establishing a way of communication with pictures around the world. You post your own picture, people will see you in New Zealand like they are here with you in the United States, and they can see the way you are looking now currently. I hear of people say, I don't like Facebook. So what if you don't like Facebook? Get behind the seat. Go to the back seat of the car. Somebody brings an internet invention and he gives it to you free of charge to put your own picture there. I used to pay money to put my picture on television in Africa. It cost me hundreds and hundreds of dollars just to appear for 30 minutes on Zambia National Broadcasting Station on a Sunday. Translated into the Zambian currency, it was millions of kwacha. I paid to be on TV. But this man is putting you on TV for free. You never write a check to Mark Zuckerberg and say, hey, Mark Zuckerberg, here is my money for being on Facebook for 5 years. It's free. And people despise things that are free. They look at free things and think they're useless. That is deception. That is what I'm calling deception of time. You look at things which are very important, and you think it's deception. You know, Facebook has got a live recording. If something happened to you where nobody is, but you got a phone, you can click live and you begin to document what's going on, and the whole world can see it the instant things are happening. And you tell me that is a cake or that is of no use. So people say, hey, I don't want to put myself on Facebook because people are going to see my face. So what? Who cares if they see your face or not? Come on now. What is it about your face that you don't want people to see? Huh? We have families who are hiding behind the woods because they say Facebook is going to put me around the world. So what? You have never been to London, but Facebook will send you to London. You have never been to Australia. Facebook will send you to Australia. Unless you are a criminal and you are afraid of the people to be on your back. But what I'm saying is, this is a tool. God has used a man to bring a tool to bless the world. And you are putting it in the backseat and saying a lot of garbage concerning Facebook. What a shame. You tell me, what have you invented yourself? Nothing. What have you discovered in your life? Nothing. And you know, big talkers many times invent nothing. In fact, they say those who talk too much are empty heads. See? Somebody worked hard, put such a connection around the world to link with people, and you say it's rubbish. Something is wrong with your brains. Well, friends, use your time well. and God will bless you. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba signing off from Dallas and telling you God bless you. Talk to you again and bye-bye.